Today's shiur is Zecher Nishmas Moshe ben Yosef. Moshe ben Yosef. Okay, we are on Gimel Amud Beis. Let's just remember what we're talking about. We have done 2 out of 5 answers to explain 2 contradictory brises. There are 2 brises. One says that if you stick your hand out to an opposite reshutz from where you are standing, you have to keep your hand out there for the rest of Shabbos. And the other brisa says that you're allowed to take your hand back in. So the question is, what is that machlokas about? So the Gemara had 2 possibilities so far. Number one was, it depends if it's lamata or lamala me asara tvachim. Above asara tvachim, we said, is what's called a makom ptur. It's an exempt rishus, and therefore, you'd be able to take your hand back in, mash enkein, if it's lamata me asara. Number 2 answer was, even the first possibility was maybe the machlokas is whether it has the status of a karmelis or not. That was the potential possibility that the Gemara says. And the Gemara rejected that and gave 5 other possible chilukim. Number 1, lamata lamala me'asara. Number 2, the machlokas is, when did you put your hand out? Did you put your hand out on Friday? So therefore, this can never turn into an issa d'araisa. And therefore, in that case, we would not be kones you. Because you just, you didn't do anything so wrong. But, or do you say it's where you put it out, Mishecha Shecha, and then if you put it out Mishecha Shecha, that's where the Rabbanan were konis you. Then the Gemara says, how could the Rabbanan be konis you? Aren't we worried that you'd violated Daraisa? Does this prove Rabbi Barabaya's case? That we'll get back to Be'ez Hashem today. The Gemara is going to bring it up again about taking the bread out of the oven. And those are the first two possibilities. We're up to number 3. Number 3 possibility, how to explain the brisa, about 8 lines up from the bottom. Another answer is that, again, don't bring a proof from this case to Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, again, remember, is the case where you put something in the oven, you slap something on the side of the oven they used to bake in the olden days, and that's, if you leave it there, it's going to bake, and that's going to be an issa d'araisa. But there's a way you could take, you remember, beforehand, before it bakes, therefore you want to take it down from the oven. But that is an issa d'rabanan. So do we allow you to violate the issa d'rabanan to save yourself from, we assume right now that we're talking about the person himself, but do we allow a person to violate the issa d'rabanan in order to save himself from an eventual issa d'araisa? So Rabbi Barabaya had a suffix about that. So yesterday we tried to prove it from one of the answers. The Gemara here again says, maybe our case has nothing to do. The fact that we'll make you stick your hand out there and we don't let you put it in, and therefore, and thus, that might lead you to drop the chafetz and you'd violate an issa d'araisa. So that has nothing to do with Rabibi's case. Don't prove to me from there. Why? Below kasha. Kan b'shogeg ka b'mezid. The real chilek between the 2 brises is whether you put your hand out there, b'shogeg or b'mezid. B'shogeg lo kansur rabbanan, b'mezid kansur rabbanan. If you put it out there b'shogeg, there's no knas. If you put it out there b'mezid, there is a knas. Now we find it in a number of places. We're konis b'mezid and not b'shogeg. Rashi here points out, therefore, if this is the answer, then this has nothing to do with Rediyas HaPas. Because per se, putting your hand back inside, there's nothing wrong with it. Rashi says, there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't do the hanacha yet. You can just take it back in. Me'ikar hadin. The only reason that we're going to make you keep your hand out there is mishum kenas. Mishum kenas, because you did have a basis, so we're going to make you keep it out there. But really, there's nothing wrong with it. Masha ein kein, and this is the important line of Rashi. Masha ein kein, in contrast to the Rediyas HaPas case, taking it off the oven, so that's a real bona fide issa d'rabanan. And to violate an issa d'rabanan in order to save yourself, then we have no proof from our Gemara about that. But if you look at the key line in Rashi, third to last skinny line, medium line, avo rediyas hapas shvusu v'nigzara b'minyan. So what's Rashi trying to tell me by that? Right? It's a shvusu, it's an issa d'rabanan, v'nigzara b'minyan, which means it was nigzar, it was decreed with a minyan of chachamim, with a sanhedrin. What's Rashi emphasizing? So the Maritz Chayas here has a very interesting point. He quotes the discussion that we had back in Brachas, daf yutes, daf chaf, if you test with Bayes about the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban about lo sasur. Whenever I violate an issa d'rabanan, the Rambam seems to say I also violate an issa d'araisa of lo sasur, that I have to listen to the Chachamim. That's why the Ramban has a lot of trouble with Shita of the Rambam. What does he do with the principle of Savei d'rabanan lakula and others? But that's the Shita of the Rambam. That if you violate, there are answers to that problem of Safek. It's not such a difficult problem. But either way, that's the Shita of the Rambam. It seems whenever you violate a d'rabanan, you also violate a d'araisa. So says the Maritz Chayas, that's really what Rashi is hinting to here. That what's the whole issue of Rabbi Rabbaya? We might let you do an issa d'rabanan, not to violate issa d'araisa. Says the Maritz Chayas, in a certain sense, that d'rabanan is d'araisa. So it doesn't really help you. And it might even be better not to do it because you're not doing it if you do it, then you're doing an avir biyadayim, and you're going to take it down. But shaken, if you just leave it there, it's an avir that's going to happen mameila, and it might be better. But he says that's what Rashi is emphasizing about a radiyah safas shvusu v'nigzer b'minyan. What do you mean nigzer b'minyan? It's a real bona fide isn't drabbanan that might have the status of a daraisa. Not stamla, just like a rub gets up and makes a takana all by himself. That would be a disadrabanan. He assumes also, this is the second assumption I forgot to mention, that lo sasser only applies to a dindrabanan that was nigzar b'minyan by an entire bezdin. But just the takana that one rabbi or two rabbis say doesn't have that status. He says that's the illusion in Rashi. Okay, that is all though answer number three in the Gemara, what the machlokas is about between these two brises. Number four, five lines up. Maybe both prices are b'shogig. You put your hand out there by mistake. V'hacha b'kansu shogig atu meza kamiflagi. And here the machlokas is whether we're going to be konis you b'shogig because you might get mixed up with shogig and mezid. Atu mezid. Mar savar kansu shogig atu mezid. Mar savar lo kansu shogig atu mezid. Okay, that's a fourth approach. Final answer, v'ibayisema, again, the fifth answer to how, what do you do with the two prices? One price says you have to stick your hand out there the rest of the day, you can't bring it back in, and the other one that says you're allowed to bring it back in. Last answer, v'ibayisema, la'olam lo'kansu. Really, there's no knasos here. But, v'lo kasha, but, what's the issue here? Kama osa chatzer, kama chatzer acheretz. The question is, you stuck your hand out. So there are two choices. Either you could put it back into the other side. There's not like a big street outside. Let's say there's a little Rishus Arabim, and you know, you're going to put it into another Rishus Hayachid on the other side. Or you could bring your hand back in. So says the Gemara, when it says Aser, that means you can't put it into the other Rishus, but you could bring it back into your own Rishus. Right, Rishus Pan Mutter means bringing it back into your own Rishus, where you started. Chatzarach, and the one that says Aser, that means you can't bring it back into your own Rishus, you can't put it into the other Rishus, you can only bring it back into your, did I just say that the opposite way? What's Mutter is that you're allowed to bring it back to where you started from. What's Aser is that you're not allowed to put it into the other Rishus. Kidvai Minei, Rav Meir of Nachman, like the following. The question that Rav asked Rav Nachman is, if you have your hand is full of fruit, and you brought it outside, can you bring it back into the chatzar that you started out with? Meaning, let's say you walked outside to Rosh Hashanah, you're walking, and all of a sudden you realize, Ayvei, it's Shabbos. Right? What do I do? So as we said that what people say is, keep walking. Where keep walking? So says, Rav Nachman, Amalei Mutter. Keep walking, turn around, kind of, and go back to the place where you started. But don't keep going to the place where you wanted to take it in the first place. Maishna, what's the difference between whether you're going back into a Rishus Hayachid? So what's the difference which Rishus Hayachid you go to? So he says, this is the phrase, you know, when you either, Rashi says 2 days, or either when you measure out a kur of salt, then I'll tell you the answer. Or when you eat some salt, either way, the Mefarshim talk about what that really means. But what's the chiluk? Hasum lo is avida machshavaso, hacha is avida machshavaso. When you eventually take it to the other rishus, so therefore your machshava was mekuyim. So we don't want to allow that. This point of, you know, a lot of melachas Shabbos is about mekuya machshavaso, melachas machshavas, as we'll talk about a lot in the future. So we don't want you to be able to take it to the other rishus. So that's why that's aser. But to go back to where you started from, so you didn't accomplish anything. So if you didn't accomplish anything, that's better, and therefore we make you and we allow you to take your hand back and to go back to where you started from. And this is even quoted halacha lemaisa in the Dagla Mervava. Dagla Mervava on Shulchan Aruch, the Nota Yehuda's commentary, he quotes as Ibn Reis Samach Vav, he says, let's say this happens, right? You're in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and you realize, uh-oh, right? You got stuff in your pocket. So he says, he argues on the Magen Avraham, U'misha yotzi mi Rosh Hashanah Yachin l'Rosh Hashanah Rabbim b'Shabbos, ein lo takana elo larutz, v'lachzor lo oso Rosh Hashanah Yachin shehotzi misham. Sorry? But if you don't have a hanacha, it's not the Raisa. You're not unless you stop. Your body stopping is called a hanacha. Like we said yesterday, akiris gufo is akiris chavetz dami. But if you don't stop, therefore you shouldn't stop either, and then just turn around. You should make a circle and take a long way around. But anyway, that's the fifth answer of the Gemara. How do you answer the stira between the two prices? That is, which rishus you're returning the object to. Okay, two dots gufa. So now we're going to relate a little bit to what was the topic that was quoted yesterday. Boi Rav Bibi Barabaya. Hidbik paspataner, hitiru lo radosa kodem sheyavu ledechi yivchatas olo hitiru. Right, in this case, if somebody puts some dough up against the wall inside the oven, that's how they used to bake, and eventually this could lead to an Issa D'Oraisa. Is he allowed to take it down before it gets baked? Taking it down itself is an Isser, is an Issa D'Rabbana. Interesting ha'ara I saw from the Minchas Asher. Rav Asher Weiss has a sefer on Masechet Shabbos. He says, interesting that from the silence of the Rishonim here, he says the Rishonim don't bring up the topic of Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim La'akar Davar Min HaTorah. Now, there's a sugi in Yevamos which discusses whether the Rabbanan have the power to make a Jew not do a Da'oraisa, or even maybe do a Da'oraisa, an Aveira Da'oraisa. For example, not blowing shofar, not shaking a lulav. Anytime the Rabbanan brings all these examples of Yesh Koach B'Yad Chachamim or Ein Koach B'Yad Chachamim La'akar Davar Min HaTorah. So that's a discussion there. So I asked Rav Asher Weiss, or his mayor at least, he makes the ha'ara, that why don't the Rishonim here discuss it? Here, there's a possibility that they're going to force you to do an Issa D'Oraisa. Right? They're not going to allow you to do a D'Rabbanan, and that's going to eventually lead you to do the D'Oraisa. Isn't that very similar? Again, that case is right. You're not doing a mitzvah D'Oraisa, and here, you're doing an Aveira. You're going to eventually do an Aveira, he says, but it's interesting that nobody discusses it. That, you know, this is, you're eventually going to do a D'Oraisa because of this D'Rabbanan. So that's similar. You're not going to do shofar because we're worried, you know, Shema Yavirenu, this is D'Rabbanan. He says, what must it be then? And why doesn't anybody bring it up? Haraya, it must be that they assume that this is what's called Sheva Al Tase, and not Kumva Ase. The Gemara in Yevamos there says that the D'Rabbanan have the power if it's what's called Sheva Al Tase. Don't do it. Kumva say active, so that they don't allow you to do. The question is, what does Sheva Al Tase mean? There's a discuss two ways to understand Sheva Al Tase. I'm not going to go into it now, but one way to understand it, that's the posture, is just, it means passive. Just don't do anything. The Rabbanan are allowed to tell you, just don't do anything. Even though here, what's going to happen? By telling you, don't do anything, don't take the pas out, that's going to lead to an Aveira, Bekumva say. Right, you're gonna do an Aveira Malacha Shabbos D'Oraisa. You're gonna be chayiv for Afia on Shabbos. So says Rav Asher Weiss, though, even though that's gonna be lead to an Aveira that's Kumbaseh, it must be that the Rishonim assume that the point of whether it's called Sheva Al Tase or Kumbaseh is at T1. At this moment, we say don't take the bread out, don't violate this Issa D'Rabbanan. That's called Sheva Al Tase. Be passive, don't do it. That's what defines it. Even though later on you're going to ultimately do an Aveir Bekumba Asay. But he assumes that this Gemara, the fact that the Rishonim don't discuss it, proves that understanding of Sheva Al Tase. Just being passive now, not doing any action. Okay, that's just a hara on this whole discussion here. Could have been said yesterday, could have been said today. Okay, so Amar Leir Bacha, so that's the case. So he had the suffix of whether we allow you to do this at Drabbanan or not. So Amar Leir Bacha Barabaya Ravina Hechidami. So Ravacha is Ravina, what exactly is the case here? Where he has the suffix of whether you're allowed to take down this bread or not. Ilema bishogeg velo idkarlei. What did the guy put the bread in bishogeg? Let's say he forgot it was Shabbos, and he put the bread into the oven, and he doesn't remember. He never remembers that it's not Shabbos. Then lamani tirus. Then what are we talking about? Then he never remembers. So if he never remembers, then what do you mean he's ready to take the bread out? So that can't be the case that he never remembers, because obviously the suffix is, can he take it out? So the elalav de'ehed avetkar. It must be a case where he put it in b'shogeg, and then all of a sudden, an hour later, he sees his friends going to shul. He's like, oi, it's Shabbos, I forgot. What do I do? So that's the case. And now he wants to know, can he take it down? But the Gemara says, that can't be the case either. Mi mechayiv? Is a person ultimately going to be chayiv a chatas in that type of case? Or what's the suffix? Can he do this to save himself from a later carbon chatas? So the Gemara says, it can't be that he remembered in the middle. Why? Because Bahatnan, we have a Mishnah later on that says, Kol chayve chatos, einon chayavin, achetehei tchilasan, shkaga, the sofan shkaga. In order to be chayiv a carbon chatos on Shabbos, you have to be b'shogeg. You have to be in the state of shogeg from beginning to end. The beginning, when you did the Aveira, it has to be that you were b'shogeg, you didn't know it was Shabbos. Through the end also has to be b'shogeg. So if you remembered in the middle, if by the time the malacha is done, you know it's Shabbos and you're mazed, then you're not chayav a carbon chatos. So what's the whole question of, you know, we might not let you to do it, take it out, because we might let you take it out because you're going to be chayav a chatos. What do you mean? The second that you remember, there's no more chatos. So what's the possibility? The whole maisa, the assumption of the Gemara is not only does the whole maisa have to be done b'shogeg, but if there's a maisa malacha, which is a process, which requires a result, that also, at that time, also has to be b'shogeg. That's the assumption of the Gemara.
Maybe it's
Oh, but it says Chiyuv Chatos. Chiyuv Chatos sounds like Lamaisa, you have to bring the carbon. It doesn't say Isser, what? Yesterday we mentioned this, an Isser Durabanan. Either the Rambam says Gzeira because you're involved in baking, you might come to actually bake. The Ranier says Ugdin Dechol. So we take type of activity to be involved. Either way, it's a Durabanan. Rudiya Sapas. So says the Gemara. So what's back to the Gemara? So what are we talking about? What's the mitzias? Is it that he was shogeg throughout? Then who's taking the bread out? He doesn't remember. So it must be that he remembered in the middle. But then there's no chatas to talk about.
Are you chayav chatas even if you remember, let's say, 2 days later?
No. If by the time it's done you remember, so then yeah, you're a chayav chatas.
No. 2 days later, for instance, you did the whole thing, everything's done,
right?
Then you finally remember.
Then you're chayav chatas, because then the whole action was in a state of shogeg. Whenever you bring a carbon chatas, you have to remember, or somebody has to remind you at some point, right? Because you're bringing the chatas, so it must be that you know that you did the avera. But again, throughout the avera, and the, like Rabbi Nun said, it must be not just the maisa avera, but the whole effect of the avera. It must be that it has to be b'shogeg. So what are we talking about? Correct. I'm saying, but let's say you wouldn't take it out. The assumption. Sorry. Those are separate malachas.
So why are you taking the bread out? You put it in. It became bread. It's spread by the.
No, it's not bread yet. That's the point. It's not bread yet. It didn't bake yet. You want to take it out before it becomes bread, before you violate. So therefore, we say that if you remember before it became bread, then you're not going to be chayav achatas because it's not bread yet. So the Gemara answers. What other possibility is there? Ella b'mezid. So okay, it can't be shogeg. So, it must be he put it in b'mezid. And now, let's say he has charata. He wants to take it out. So Gemara says, b'mezid? Kodem shiavo de'isr skilu b'boile. So what is the whole suffix? The language of the suffix is, are we going to allow him to take it out to save himself from a chiyuv chatas? What if he put it in b'mezid? There's no chatas here. It's a skila we're talking about, to save himself from getting killed. So Amar Rav Shela, la'olam b'shogeg. It can't be mezid. It says chatas. So it must be b'shogeg. Ulamani tiru la'acherim. The whole discussion here is for others. The guy left. We don't know where he is. But we know that he put this into the oven. Are we allowed to go take it out for him? Are we allowed to violate an Issa d'Rabbanan to save our friend from violating an Issa d'Oraisa? That's the suffix of Rabbi Barabaya. Because it's talking about others. So therefore, it's shogeg throughout. So that's it's a chatas issue, and we're talking about other people.
It's the implication that it was a
skila,
you
know, no, it doesn't specifically say that if it would be a skila, you could do it. It just rejected skila based on a linguistic problem. It didn't reject skila based on something else. But we'll see in a minute. So Matzkev lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, 1 second. V'chiyomrim lo la'adam chatei b'shvil kedei sheyizke chavei recha. Famous discussion, which we'll talk about a little bit. Do we tell a person sin to be mezakeh your friend? Since when do we say, I should do an aveira in order to save my friend from doing a greater aveira? Right, Rashi, that's what Rashi says. Do we tell a person to do an aveira iser kal to save my friend from getting an onesh chamer? There's a concept of arevus, but how far does it go? So that can't be. It can't be that's the suffix, because we know that's not true. We'll see limits in Tosas in a minute. So, Elam Ravashi Lolam B'mezid. Really, it's talking about B'mezid, and as Ravashi and as Amaram could do, change the words. V'eima kodem shi'arvel de'ezer skila. Change it. That's what the suffix was really about. The suffix was, can he save himself from before violating an ezer skila? Ravacha b'edir Rav Masri Lebehedya, he has a beferish. The first line might have been, that's what he meant. And now it's saying this one is he actually had that. Amar Rabbi Rabbaya, Hidak Bas Batana, Ritulo Radosa, Kodem Shiavo de Isser Skila. Right? That's the suffix. Do we allow him to take it down before he violates an Isser Skila? Tosas asks a Pasha question here, though, before we get to the bigger Tosas of Chate. Tosas at Kodem says, 1 second, what's the suffix? And you have to ask this question even without Tosas. What's the suffix? Are we going to allow him to take the bread down before it's bread to save himself from a Chiyuv Skila? What's the Kasha? Okay, let's say there was Esra. You're right, we're talking about Mazin. Talking about Mazin here, he did it with Mazin. So what's the Kasha? Would anybody, I know I'm going to be Chayef Skeel if I don't take this bread down. The Rabbanan say, hey, don't take the bread down. What person in his right mind are going to listen to the rabbis there? Okay, I'll violate the Rabbanan. I want to live. What's the suffix?
Doesn't that become a shaking if he wants to take it out?
Oh, so that's a Chiddush. But Tosfos says you have to answer. It's a chiddush, but you have to say that. Because what kind of suffix is that? Well, I'm going to die because I'm listening to the Rabban. It doesn't make sense. So Tosfos says, in Kodem, v'tiris riva, d'imlohi tiru lo yischa machayev skila. If we wouldn't allow him, and therefore he would leave it because he's listening to the Rabbanan, it must be that really Lamaisa wouldn't be a chayev skila. If the reason that he's not taking it out is because we tell him not to take it out, so then, you know, it must be that it's not going to be mamash achiyev skila. But that's still the suffix. Is it better to do this issa d'rabbanan, even though if we don't allow you to do it, it's going to be, you're not going to be chayev skila in any case. So that's Tosfos chiddush, but you have to say that to interpret the Gemara. I saw that there's a Kesef Mishnah in Kilchas Chametz Umatzah that says something very similar. Kesef Mishnah says, let's say you find Chametz on Pesach. So what's the halacha? On Yantif, not on Chol HaMoed. It says, Kofer Alav as a Kli, the Rambam says. You have to cover it with a bowl so you don't come to eat it, and therefore on Chol HaMoed or whatever, you'll get rid of it. Ask the Kesef Mishnah, why aren't you allowed to get rid of it right now? Why can't you just throw it out of your house? Why do you have to Kofer Alav as a Kli? Why can't you just get rid of it? Okay, you can't burn it. But why can't you just throw it out? Throw it to the wind. Why? It's Muksa. It's Muksa. Mishum Minister Muksa, you're allowing chametz in your house, Bal Yorah, Bal Yimatzeh. You have chametz in your house, and you know it's in your house, and you're not doing anything about it. So what about Bal Yorah, Bal Yimatzeh? What about Nisr Kares? The Kesef Mishnah says, no, if the reason that you... So this is the Rabbanan. If the reason that you're not doing it is because the Rabbanan told you, you're not going to be chayav the Kares. Similar idea to what Tosfos says here. If the reason that you're not going to take the bread out is because of what the Rabbanan said, then you're not going to be chayav the Chiyav Misa. There are some shittos that say that bittul doesn't work on chametz yadua. So I think according to that, I think there's a... What? You know it's sitting in your house.
Now you do, but at the time...
Okay, so right now. So right now, you're violated by your right right now. From Pesach started to fight, you didn't know about it. But right now, it's yadua. You're mevatel before yantif, but the second that you know about it, then your bittul might be undone. If you don't destroy it right then, that's why do you always have to get rid of it? Part of it is because, right, Choshesh Shemi Yimatzeh Gluska Yafa, and you might like it. Oh, okay. Tosfos here, very important Tosfos. And Tosfos Vachi. Tosfos quotes another Gemara in Erevin, which seems to say that you're allowed to violate a little Lavera. If I'm a Chaver and I'm giving Peros to an Am Haaretz, the Gemara in Erevin says, then let's say I'm about to give it to him, and I remember Oive Maisrus weren't taken off, and I know this guy is probably not going to take off Maisrus. I'm allowed to take off Maiser from this fruit right now, even though I'm going to violate the halacha that you have to take Maisrus min Amukaf. You have to take Maisrus usually from next to the place from where this fruit came from. So I'm allowed to violate that in order to save him from eating Tevel. So that Gemara says it's Motor, and this Gemara says it's Usser. So what's the difference? Tosfos says three important yesodos of when it's mutter, when it's not mutter. Number one, Tosfos says over there it's like lifnei iver. You're involved. You're giving him the peiros. If you're giving him the peiros themselves, if you're causing your friend to do an aveira kind of, so then we're going to say that you're allowed to sin a little bit in order to save him. But if you have nothing to do with it, here you have nothing to do with it. You walked into your friend's house, you put the stuff in the oven. Then it's going to be Asr. It's very interesting. The Me'iri, when he formulates this first daya of Tosfos, he has two lines. He says, maybe if you're involved, you're causing him to do it, so it's a problem. The second lashon is a little different. Sha'af ha'chaver iluchat ha'am'aretz nimsa hu nosei michshol v'yesh lo chelek ba'aveira. And he has a chelek. It's not just that he's causing it, but he has a chelek in the aveira. Two days, what you mentioned yesterday, 2 days ago. How is Lifnei Iver looked at? Is Lifnei Iver, what's the scorecard in Shemayim? Do I have a separate Lifnei Iver scorecard in Shemayim? Is there Klali? Or by every Aveira, is there a Lifnei Iver section? The Lifnei Iver of this, Lifnei Iver of that. 2 days in the Me'iri Mefurish. The first day it says that's a problem because I'm causing him. The second day is because if I'm causing him, it's like I do the Aveira. 2 days in the Me'iri, on this Gemara, how to view Lifnei Iver. But that's all. Number one is whether I'm causing him to do the Aveira. Number two, Tosfos says, if it's a mitzvah rabba, whatever that means, so then you're also allowed to chatei b'shoshis chaverecha. For example, puruvu, where it says that a person is allowed to free his half-slave in order for him to be mekayim puruvu. So that's a second possibility. Connected to that answer is the concept of Chalel Shabbos Achas, Kedishi Yishtar Shabbos Os Harbe. Right? You're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos to save a life. Why? Because you're violating now, besides what's the story behind that Pikuach Nefesh, part of it is you're doing a little Avera so that he could do Mitzvah Rabba to keep him alive. That's in L'cha Puruvu G'dol Mizu. And that's number two. And number three says Tosfos is Vod Yishlomar. He says maybe Dafka Hecha De Pasha Ka'amar. Only if when they messed up, so then you're not allowed to do it. But if it was a mistake, if it's not their fault, so then maybe you can. Three different answers in Tosfos. Lamai Dafka Mina. Right, is there any Dafka Minas between the two? So it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Vav quotes a case from the Chuvas HaRashva. Let's say a person's daughter, could be any girl, is captured, and you're worried that they're going to missionize her on Shabbos. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? So it's not Pikuach Haguf, but you're worried that they're going to missionize her, so are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for that? So the Shulchan Aruch says yes, even though the Rashva had said no. The Rashva in the Chuvah says no, Chatei B'shul Shizka Chavirecha? Right, so therefore, the Chuvas HaRashva says you can't. And the Shulchan Aruch says, one second, look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, Lo Pasha, you're allowed to do it. She was Ne'anah, she was taken away by the captors. So the Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah here explains also based on the Beis Yosef, that as long as she didn't go willingly, but she was forced, you don't need all three in order to save. As long as you have Lo Pasha, and maybe you could say it's a mitzvah rabbah, even though you're not involved, right? So then, even any one of them, that would be enough. And he says, Vimhu Yechal Shabbos Pamecha Nikra Iser Zuta Keneged Zeh, saving her. But it comes up, Shinvav, the end of the Siman in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so that's all the discussion of Chatei B'Shul Shiyizka Chaveirecha. Fine. Just one more ha'ara on this discussion here of Hidrik Bas Bataner. The Cheshek Shlomo in the back of Shlomo Mivilna has a discussion. What happened? They have the whole suffix about Shabbos, and you're not allowed to take the pass down on Shabbos. What if it's Shabbos Pesach? Does that make it any worse? Right? Because it's going to become Chameitz, Bali Rabbi Yibatzeh, and is it worse? So he has a discussion there. He says, is it worse? Is it better? So you can look that in the back of the Cheshek Shlomo. Interesting. He says, maybe Chameitz, you violate it every second. So that's worse. Chametz in your house every second is an aveira, while skila is bad, but it's a one-time thing. So is that worse? Okay. Weiter, two dots. Pashen ha'ani es yado. So we're back to the Mishnah. The ani stuck his hand in. Right, either way, the Mishnah talks about cases which are isuri d'oraisa, right, where either party does both actions, the akira and the hanacha. So Gemara says, amai chayiv, hab'inan akira v'hanacha mi'al gavi makom dalad al dalad v'leka. We have a principle, which we'll see later on, that an akira and a hanacha should be and must be done from a place that is 4x4, that is 4x4 tfachim. I don't remember. Is it 4x4 or 4x4 amos? Tfachim, right? So it's 4x4 tfachim. Kavidal dal valeka. Right? So then, and a person's hand is not 4x4, so what happened here? We said in the Mishnah, if the ani puts his hand into the house, takes it from the balabayas and brings it out, that's an isur daraisa. What do you mean? He didn't do an akira from a makam dalad al dalad, right? Valaka, ask the Gemara. So why are you chayiv in this case? So answer number one. We're gonna have a couple of answers. Two of them are on today's daf, Bez Hashem. The third will be on tomorrow's. But first answer: Amar Rabba, Hamani Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is really the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. To Amar Lo Binan Makam Ar Barba, who says that you don't literally need a makom of dalad al dalad tzvachim. Titznan, where does he say that? As we're about to see, he doesn't really say you don't need it, but halachically it's considered as if you have it. Titznan, as the Mishnah says later on, at the beginning of Perak Hazorek, Hazorek mi rishus hayachid, rishus hayachid, rishus harabim be'emsa, let's say I'm having a catch with my neighbor, and there's no error, if I'm having a football catch, I'm on my side of the street, he's on his side of the street, so I say, oh, we're not carrying rishus harabim, I'm just going to throw him the ball, and we both have great arms, so we'll make sure it won't go in the street at all, it'll go through the street, I'll catch it in my house, he'll catch it in his house. So what's the halacha in that case? Rabbi Akiva Machayev, Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv daraisa for that case. V'chachamim potrim. What's the svaras? The chachamim say you're potter there. Rabbi Akiva savar amrinan kluta kamisha hunchadamya. Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? Once it goes into the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's as if kluta means kalut, surrounded by, swallowed up in. Once it's swallowed up in the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it was munach. It was hunchadami. It was placed into that rishus, and therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, it's as if when you threw it to your friend, it's as if it rested in Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, that's why you're chayiv, because you had an akira in Rishus HaYachid, and you had a hanach in Rishus HaRabim. You see, that hanach is not on dalad al dalad, it just went through even. And Rabbi Akiva says, you know, it's as if it rested, so that's why that's the shita, that's the tana of our Mishnah. By the way, the assumption is that having your hand there doesn't ruin it.
that airspace is maybe even worse. So like air, if it's a totally airspace, it's as if it's down on the floor. So from a person's hand, you know, that doesn't ruin it. It's as if it's a makam dalal al dalal. So we spoke about it. It's better to get if somebody walks out,
but
keep walking.
Not according to Rabbi Akiva, because once it's in the airspace of Shizarabi,
then you lose. Right, so then at least according to the other sheet, you got to keep walking. According to everything we said, Rabbi Akiva, if you hold Klut to Kamisha Hunchadami, so then you're right. Well, the Gemara is going to talk about that in a minute. That this might only prove Akira. That's why we only prove Hanachim, not Akira. Yeah. Is this high? The Gemara is going to talk about that. What the machlokas is about in a minute. We're going to get to that on a base. So at least the possibility here is that Rabbi Kiva holds klut to kamisha hunchadami. For Rabbanan Savri, lo mina klut to kamisha hunchadami. The Rabbanan say you don't say this principle, and therefore when you threw it through, there was no hanacha, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv daraisa. It's going to be an issa derabanan, right? As we said yesterday, pater always means issa derabanan, except for those three cases that we had at the beginning of yesterday's amud. But that's the machlokas. That's the first possibility. The Tana of our Mishnah, who says that you could take it from the hands, is holds like is Rabbi Akiva, who says that you don't need mamish makam of dalal al dalid, because it's as if you have it. So Gemara says lameimra. The first question is not a substantive question, but it's a question. Lameimra the pshita le rabba the bechlut kamisha hunchadamiye is that Rabba gave this answer. So it appears from here that Rabba realized and it was obvious to him that the pshat of this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim was that it's a machlokas about klut kamisha hunchadamiyeh ubitoch asara pligi, and the machlokas is within 10 tfachim, right? That is it so obvious that that's the machlokas? That Rabba holds that that's the machlokas? Under 10 tfachim is pretty low. When you have a regular football catch, it's higher than 10 tfachim. 10 tfachim is about, 30 somewhat inches. So how much is right? A couple of feet. That's it. So was it obvious? Rabba says that's a the sheet is Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah. So 1 second, the Gemara says, "V'hami boyle boyla Rabba." Rabba had a suffik about what the machlokas is about, and according to one side of the suffik, I'll just foreshadow. According to one side of the suffik, everybody holds klut kamisha unchadamye, and therefore, what's he saying? The Mishnah's like Rabbi Akiva. The Mishnah could be like everybody. That's to give you the question of the Gemara. So, Baile Rabba, the Baile Rabba, Rabba had a suffeg, Lamata, Miyud, Pligi. The Machlokes is the Machlokes under Yud, under Ten Tachim, Ubaha Pligi, and the Machlokes is as follows, Rabbi Kiva Sava, Kluta Kamishon Chadamye, Rabban and Savi Lormin, Kluta Kamishon Chadamye, and the Machlokes is, as we said, Avalamala Miyud, but over Ten Tachim, Divrei Hakol Patur, but above Ten Tachim, everybody would agree, Patur, why? Because as we said yesterday, that is called a Makom Patur, that's a Ten Tachim, above 10 tfachim, Rosh Hasharabim is a makom tur. It's an exempt status. It's not called Rosh Hasharabim. It's not called Rosh Hasharabim. It's a makom tur. Utakule alma lo yalfidan zorek mi moshit. What does that mean? There's a special din that hoshata. Hoshata means extending and handing from one to the other. If I give you something, that's called hoshata. There's a special din that hoshata above 10 tfachim is chayiv, even though it's a makom tur, because that's what they did in the Mishkan. That's what Rashi says here. Hoshata above 10 tfachim is chayev, because that's what they did on the agalos in the Mishkan. Hoshata above 10. So the first possibility of explaining the machlokes is as what we said. The machlokes is under 10 tfachim, whether you say kluta kamisha hunchadamye, and everybody agrees that above 10 tfachim is going to be patur. Hoshata is chayev, but zorek, which is the case we're talking about throwing, is going to be patur. That's one side. But the Gemara says, Rabba had another possibility. Oh, Dilma. Or is the machlokes about the following? L'malam yud pligi. As Yoni pointed out before, that maybe the machlokes is about above 10 tfachim. Ubaha pligi. And what's the machlokes? To Rabbi Kiva Savar Yalfina Zorek Mimoshit. Rabban and Savri Lo Yalfina Zorek Mimoshit. And the machlokes is about whether you learn throwing from handing. We know there's a special din that handing above 10 tfachim from an agala to an agala is chayiv. So do we say that it's not only handing, but also throwing? Rabbi Akiva says, also throwing. And the Rabbanan say, not also throwing. But the whole machlokas is above 10 tfachim. Avalamata miyud. And under 10, though, l'divrei hakol chayiv. But under 10, everybody would agree that if you throw under 10 tfachim, you'd be chayiv. My time up, amrin kluta kemishon chadamye. Because everybody will kluta kemishon chadamye. Question mark. So what's the Gemara's question? Why was the first possibility on the bottom of Amud Aleph? The Gemara said, who's the Tana of our Mishnah who says that you don't need a makam dalal dalid? So Rabba says, hey, it's Rabbi Akiva. What's Rabba limiting himself so much? Rabba could have said, maybe it's Rabbi Akiva, or maybe it's everybody. Because according to my second way of understanding that Mishnah, Everybody holds Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamye. So why did I, would Rabba, did the Gemara say that Rabba said only Rabbi Akiva? It could have been everybody. So the Gemara says, Halo Kasha. Busted Yibayi Hadab Shifshatilay. Sometimes you have kashas in life, and later on in life you answer them. So yes, originally, this was earlier in history. Rabba had the suffix. But later on in history, he realized, he assumed like the first tzad, and that's what he accepted. So that's all possibility number one, who the Tan of our Mishnah is like. So the Gemara now rejects that. I'm sorry. So later on, it was pashut to him that Rabbi Akiva holds klutz kamisha huncha. So Gemara says, one second. V'dilma hanachahu d'lo baye ha'akira baye. This whole Mishnah only proves to me that there's an opinion out there that says the hanacha doesn't need dalad al dalad, but the akira, this doesn't prove to me that the akira doesn't need dalad al dalad. It only proves that hanacha doesn't need dalad al dalad. What exactly is this question? Rashi, Tosfos, Rashba. Rashi says, what's the question over here? That if it was really true that Rabbi Akiva held, or whoever held, that the Akira and Anacha both don't need Dalad al Dalad, then when I throw it to my friend on the other side, I should be chayev too. Or at least more than one. Because what happens? I throw it to the street, it's as if there's an Anacha, and then it should be as if there's an Akira. Every second there's an Akira, Anacha, Akira, Anacha, Akira. Why am I only chayev one? Right, I'm a chayev because I did an Akira here and I did a Hanacha. It's a imaginary Hanacha, which is a Rabbim. But if it's true that Rabbi Akiva also holds that an Akira doesn't need Dalad al Dalad, there should be another Akira at every second to the next Rishus. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says you only chayev one. Chayev means one. So it must be that Rabbi Akiva holds that only Hanacha. And therefore, when you lift it up from the ground in your Rishus, that's the original Akira that has Dalad al Dalad. So that's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Tosis doesn't ask this problem, but I think somewhat of a problem is the Lashon of Vidilma. According to Rashi, it's a bona fide kasha. What do you mean Vidilma? Maybe. According to Rashi, Haraya, that this is, Rabbi Akiva does not hold. Rabbi Akiva does not hold of Yechayev too. So I think it's a strong, Rashi has such a strong kasha, maybe the word Vidilma is a little weak. That's Rashi. Tosis quotes Rashi and tells Vidilma, and he gives a different shot. He doesn't like it for another reason. So Tosis says, no, maybe it just means Dumi the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, there was an Akira from Dalad al Dalad, even though there wasn't a Hanacha from Dalad al Dalad. So therefore, maybe that's the Kasha, that maybe from the Mishkan, not focused on the Araya from the case of the Mishnah, maybe from the Mishkan, there will be a difference between Akira and the Hanacha. The Rashba here says, maybe it's just a Svara. The Rashba, and I think the Meiri also says, maybe it's just a Svara that, you know, beginning of actions always have to be more significant. The beginning of a malacha might have to be more significant, misvara. So even if you prove to be hanacha, that's no raya that the beginning, that the akira would not need dalal al dalal. And just one final point, and then we'll continue. So Rabbi Yosef Engel here quotes the, I think the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh. I don't know, does he have a commentary al ashas on halacha, not just agados? But he quotes the Maharal, who says something as follows. He has a fourth shot in the line. Maybe when I throw it, then we have a concept called achshavei. Which means, even if something doesn't have the required shear objectively, but sometimes if I give it chashivus, so then that itself gives it the requisite shear, and I'm chayev. We had the discussion, we're going to have it later on in the beginning of Perek HaMatzniyah, that if I are motzi something with a tiny shear, even if it's less than what other people do, so then I'm still going to be chayev because of achshavei. I'm machshiv that little amount. So says the Maharal, says the Garayah, when you throw something, you're being machshiv the makam hanacha, because you want your friend to catch it. So then I understand why the makam hanacha wouldn't need dalad al dalad, but just picking it up from the ground, you're not being machshiv anything. So that's why the Akira would still require Dalad al Dalad, the Makom, even though the Makom Hanacha wouldn't, based on Achshavei. So those are four different ways to learn this question of the Gemara. Either way, whatever pshat you have, so we reject this approach. So Rabbi Akiva is out. That's not the answer to the, that's not the Tana of our Mishnah. So, El Amr of Yosef Hamani Rebihi. So second possibility, maybe it's Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe is the Tana of our Mishnah who holds that you don't need a Makom Dalad al Dalad. So, hey Rebbe. So, which Rebbe? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said many things all over Shas. So, which Rebbe are we talking about? So, Ilei Mahar Rebbe. Is it the following Rebbe, the Tanya who said in the Brisa, Zarek Menachal Gabi Ziz Kol Shehu. If you throw something and it rested on a Ziz is like a little protrusion outside a window. Like, let's say you have a sill outside a window, so it rested on that. Rebbe Mechayev Acham and Potrin. And Rebbe's Mechayev. Oh, so you see that Rebbe holds that you can have a Hanacha on a place that's less than Dalad al Dalad. So maybe he's the Tana. So Gemara says, no, that doesn't work. Later on, we're going to explain that case as follows. That it's not that he's just mechayev for a hanacha of less than dalad al dalad, but that's a specific type of case. To Amar Abaya, hacha be'ilan ha'omid b'rishas ha'yachad v'nofa notu l'rishas ha'rabim. No, we're talking about a case similar to that where, let's say you have a tree in rishas ha'yachad, the branches of the tree hang out to rishas ha'rabim. V'zorak v'noch anofo, and you threw something and it rested on the branches. So is that called Rishus HaRabim, where the branches are? Or is that called Rishus HaYachid, where the base is? The Rebbe Savar, Amrina Shadi Nofo Basari Karo, Rabban and Savri, Lor Amrina Shadi Nofo Basari Karo. In other words, in those type of cases, where it falls on branches, or it falls on the protrusion of a house, those aren't non-dalad al-dalad places. Those, according to Rebbe, are viewed as extensions of the base. And therefore, that doesn't prove to me that stam, a makom that's not dalad al dalad, not connected to a base, you're going to be chayiv. That case, according to Rebbe, you have this protrusion, or you have a branch, he holds basar ikaru as linon. Meaning, as long as it's connected to something that's dalad al dalad, that's good enough. But that still doesn't prove to be our Mishnah, where you have somebody's hand, which is not connected to a makom dalad al dalad, I still don't have a Tana who says that you'd be chayiv for that type of case. So that's why, again, Rebbe is rejected. Right. This Gemara isn't interested in which Rishus it really is, but at least Le'inyin, the aspect of Dalad al-Dalad, it is considered Dalad al-Dalad according to Rebbe, because it's Basar Ikaru Azlina. Ella ha-Rebbe. Maybe it's the following Rebbe, the Tanya, Zark, Rishus Ram, Rishus Ram, Rishus Yachar Bamsa, Rebbe V'chai V'chal Potrin. So we have Rebbe who said the same sheet as Rebbe Akiva, as before, that if you throw it in, then you're chayiv. But Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. But now we're going to solve our problem from before. Mechayiv ha'yir Rabbi Shtayim achaz b'shem motzav achaz b'shem achnasa. This might be where Rashi got his pshat from. That Rebbe, when he says that if you throw from your rishus to your friend's rishus with rishus rab in the middle, you're chayiv too, right? One for the akira and your rishus and hanacha and shurabim, and then there's an imaginary akira and hanacha, which means that he holds both akira and hanacha don't require dalad al dalad. Alma lo boy akira v'lo hanacha al gabi makom dalad al dalad. So that's a good possibility. So that's the town of our Mishnah. Correct. So that's what Tosfos asks on Rashi. So they asked Rashi about that. Right, if you do an Avot, it's totally only chayiv once. So that could be a problem, unless you say, right, this sounds like, or if you do two Avos. Right, this is even two Avos, the same Hotzor Achnasa, or two Toldos, you're only chayiv one. That's what Tosfos asks on Rashi. Okay, so maybe that means chayiv shtayim, not two Karbanos, but two Isurim. Okay.
In this case, the Rishus
HaYachid is in the middle. Does that make a difference, right? It makes a difference for Lamala Miyud, because it might not be Makom Tzur, Lamala Miyud by Rishus HaYachid, but at least Lamata Miyud, it doesn't. Oh, so that's the next possibility. So maybe the town of our mission is like Rebbe. So we say, no, Ha'itmar Allah, Rav Shmuel, Darwin Shrevayo, again we reject that, because we have a limitation of that case. Lo Machayev Rebbe, Yelav Rishus HaYachid, Makura. What is the case that Rebbe is Machayev when you have a roofed Rishus HaYachid? The Amrinan Besa Kaman Damal Yadamye. Rebbe doesn't hold in general this concept of Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamye. If it flies through the air, it's as if it's resting on the ground. Come on! Rebbe doesn't hold that way. Rebbe Kiva says that. That's a Chiddush. Maybe the Rabbanan hold it according to the other way. But Rebbe only said it where you have a roof over the Rishus HaYachid that you're throwing it through. So then, if you have a roof, then Rebbe said, as the Lashon of the Gemara is as if that house is filled, and therefore, as if it's resting on whatever's in the house. But if it doesn't have a roof, then Rebbe never says it. So again, we don't have a shita, because the pashas of our mission is that it's not roofed. Maybe our mission is talking about Makura. Maybe our mission is talking about a case that has a roof. And therefore, again, that's the town of our Mishnah. So we said, no, Hatenep Rishus HaYachid, Makura. So at least the Rishus HaYachid aspects of our Mishnah might be Makura, but Rishus HaRabim, Makura, Michayev. But remember, one case of our Mishnah is, let's say the Baal HaBayis sticks his hand out to Rishus HaRabim and does an Akira there from a Makom that's not Dalad al-Dalad and brings it in. He's going to be Chayev. There's also, what do you mean, a Rishus HaRabim Makura? That's not a Rishus HaRabim. V'amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hamavar Chayv is Dalat Amas Rishus HaRabim Makura Pater, V'vishayin Adoma L'Digle Midbar. Right, it's not like what they did in the Mishkan. And we're comparing Dalat Amas and Rishus HaRabim to Hotzah. So that's an assumption of the Gemara, a little glossed over, nobody really makes a big deal about it, but just note that. That might not be exact, but the Gemara says, so you can't say he's talking about a case of Makura. And Rebbe Shita was only by a case of Makura. He only says, Kluta, it's like imaginary Hanacha if it has a roof. So again, we're back to the question, who is the Tana of our Mishnah who allows you to do an Akira and a Hanacha, that doesn't allow you, who says you violate the Daraisa even on a Makom that's not Dalal Adalal. We said it can't be Rebbe Akiva, we said it couldn't be Rebbe, two possibilities. So now the Gemara is going to be up to number three. Ella Amar Rav Zeira is going to be the third possibility. Rabbi Shem Menachem will pick up with this tomorrow. Ella Amar Rav Zeira, third possibility, what is the case, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Okay, we'll stop here. The Shia was Lecha Nishmas, Moshe Ben Yosef. Amen.